You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
How much have you heard about the quote-unquote suck for Sam campaign that many have come up with related to the New York Jets?
I've heard about it.
With the third pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC.
Sam Darnold, play action, drops the throw, looking over the middle, bullets one up the seam again, and it's intercepted.
Do you believe you've played your final game as a Jet quarterback?
I'm not sure.
The Jets are drafting Zach Wilson with the second overall pick. You can book.
Sam, do you believe that the Jets failed in setting you up into a position to have success?
I don't think I've played well enough. That's really all I can worry about.
The Jets now trade Sam Darnold. That locks the Jets into taking a quarterback at number two.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, he's out of here. Sam Darnold will move to Carolina. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Busy Tuesday. CMT coming your way at 6:45. Schefter, 7:15. Mike Tenenbaum, 7:35. I like what you've done there, RJ, because he's going to whine and complain if we don't get to him right at 7:30. So you've pushed him back the extra 5 minutes just to buy us a little bit of time. So good job. Good job. Great job, really, by you. Again, let's start with the Jets, and then we'll get into the Knicks and the Nets and back to the baseball. We haven't even touched on the Yankees yet. So much to do. I'm okay with this trade from the Jets. You got a 2, you got a 4, you got a 6. Now, you would have maybe preferred the 2 and the 4 to be in this draft, but overall, a 2, a 4, and a 6 for a guy that, let's be honest, wasn't very good in his time here with the Jets. I don't look at this as a bad trade for the Jets. Not at all.
Compensation-wise, no.
No.
I mean, we had initially heard, again, this was before, you know, teams started making moves for quarterbacks, that, you know, the Jets would be looking for, you know, a late first-round pick, second-round pick. And then it turned from that into all of a sudden you'd get a third if you're lucky and maybe a fourth. So for him to get a second round pick and a fourth round pick plus the sixth round for the season, I mean, he did well. You got to remember, too, I mean, the circumstances surrounding where Sam Darnold is at with his contract. Like, you're trading for Sam Darnold. You're going to have to, I mean, if you're going to give up assets, which Carolina did.
Well, they believe in him.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they have no choice at this point. I mean, they're looking to upgrade the position. Matt Rhule, you know, had the conversation with Sam. He likes the person. I don't know what he's seen in the 3 years that would make him believe that that he can be their franchise quarterback. But I mean, in trading for him, you're picking up his fifth year option, which is, it sounds like they're going to do, which is close to $19 million.
It really is an indictment on how bad Adam Gase is as a head coach, and the fact that the Jets did decide to hire him in Sam's second year. Right, the fact that even with the lack of production from Sam Darnold the last 3 years, well, since he's gotten to the Jets. Like, you still have a team that's willing to trade 3 picks, including a second-round pick, in order to get him to come play quarterback for them.
They think there's untapped potential there. That's what they see. And you know what? If there's a coach and a team that's going to get it out of Sam Darnold, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it is Carolina and Matt Rhule.
Yeah, but it could have been Matt Rhule here with the Jets.
Well,
had it not
been
for Chris Johnson's insistence that Greg Williams is going to be the defensive coordinator.
Oh, my God. I mean, you don't have Matt Rhule as your head coach because they wouldn't let him bring in his own coordinators. How ridiculous is that?
It's the Jets, Dave. I think that's all that's left to be said. Like, it's a dysfunctional organization, but it feels like they're trying to get a lot of that cleaned up. And you can't fault the new general manager for wanting to go the direction of getting his guy to play quarterback and having his guy to be the head coach to lead this team into the future. Can't be mad at the deal at all.
Yeah, he got stuck with a coach who's awful. I mean, Adam Gase was awful. And then, you know, he inherited Sam Darnold. Now, yeah. If I'm in Joe Douglas's position, you know, I've had a chance to, you know, be in the same building with Sam, watch him play. I've heard nothing, like, me personally, the people I know in that organization, he's a great kid. I've heard nothing but good things. I mean, obviously, you'd like the play to be better on the field. You'd like him to stay healthy. Those things didn't happen. But if this is my only shot at being a general manager in the National Football League, I'm going to go down with my own guy.
Of course you are. Even if it's not your only shot. Any GM that's worth their salt is going to look and say, is this going to be the answer quarterback? And the answer is no, he's not. You need someone else. So, yeah, I get it. This might be his only shot, and that could be true. But even if it's not, even if he's going to get 10 more shots, why would you go with a quarterback that you don't think is the answer?
And that's what it comes down to, Dave, because when you're weighing Zach Wilson versus Sam Darnold, it's not just about the money at the position. It's not just about the draft pick compensation that you could get in return for number two. It's also about whether or not you think the guy can do the job. And Sam Darnold has had more chances, more opportunities to prove that he's the guy, and he just hadn't taken advantage of them. You haven't seen enough consistency from the player to give you enough belief, enough conviction to pass on what Zach Wilson could be. Dave, Sam Darnold's got more turnovers than he does passing touchdowns in 3 years. I just, again, when you boil it all down, I just don't know that Joe Douglas could have foregone the opportunity to take his own guy and see what that could be. Just because you've seen what Sam Darnold could be with the first 3 years of his career.
I think we know. Ryan in Queens. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Top of the morning, fellas. This question is really for Rick. With the past mistakes that the Jets have made with rookie quarterbacks, what veteran quarterback would you like to see them bring in to help ease this kid in?
I would like someone like Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith would be a perfect fit, assuming he still wants to play. I've heard nothing but, I mean, every single quarterback, Pat Mahomes, credits Alex Smith with kind of taking him under his wing. How about that situation, too, if you're Alex Smith? I mean, you're on a team, you're on a playoff team, and they draft Pat Mahomes, and writing's on the wall, it's going to be your last year. I mean, that guy's had some brutal, I mean, some tough breaks.
Yeah, but none worse than the actual physical break.
No, I mean, that's exactly, but it's still, I mean, everywhere he goes, it seems like they can't wait to get rid of him.
Because he's not great.
No, he's not great. He's fine.
He's
but
fine.
I think that's
exactly. But nobody is looking at the end of the day to bring, like, let's bring in Alex Smith. That'll lead us to the promised land. Like, he's fine.
No, you're right. Yeah, he's fine. But I think in this situation, he'd be a perfect fit for Zach Wilson.
How do you feel about Nick Mullins?
I think that's a solid move. Nick Mullins would be solid. Be interested,
I mean,
to see.
He's familiar. He knows the system. He could teach Zach Wilson the system.
Be interested to see what happens with Teddy Bridgewater.
Bring him back.
I mean, you could do worse for a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, you certainly could.
It's in his name.
That's right. He almost has to be a bridge quarterback. That's right. And that's what they're going to get down there, huh?
Yeah, exactly right.
On Tuesdays, taste the veal. All right, 800-919-3776. The Knicks. I mean, by the way, are you done with the Harden is going to win MVP conversation? Is that over for you?
No, I can't. Why would I give up on that?
Because it's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, still, I can hope. I mean, I want to see you naked. So I'm going to continue to root for James Harden. That's the bottom line.
All right. Well, they gave you nothing last night. Left the game with the hamstring. Probably miss a couple more games, you'd imagine. But, I mean, the Knicks, they just can't beat this Nets team, no matter who's playing for the Nets.
Well, when Kyrie Irving's going off the way he did last night, Dave, it's going to be hard to beat the Nets. Like, I mean, and you've seen the role players for the Nets play with more and more confidence because they're getting extended minutes. But I just, like, when Kyrie Irving is in his bag the way he was last night and kind of setting the tone in that first quarter, again, the Knicks don't have a guy that's like that. They don't have somebody that in the critical points in the game can take over, can get a bucket for himself and create opportunities for others. They just don't. Julius Randle tries to be that guy, and you saw that down the stretch in the fourth quarter yesterday. But, I mean, Kyrie Irving is just, I mean, he's that damn good. The guy drops 40. I think he had 28 shots. So, I mean, it's not necessarily the most efficient, but it wasn't terrible. But the fact that he was able to go out there and kind of get those buckets and change the momentum of that game late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, to me, that was the biggest determining factor in deciding that game.
No, it was the end of the third quarter. I mean, the Knicks did an awful job in that third quarter.
Terrible.
I mean, seven turnovers. Nets went on a 14-2 run to end that quarter.
The thing that's so frustrating, though, Rick, is, I mean, you don't have Durant. You know he's not going to play. And then Harden gets hurt during the game, and you build up a big lead, and you still let it get away.
But that, I mean, that's the recurring theme right now, is the Knicks build up a lead, and they're unable to sustain the lead. Because they don't. Listen, Derrick Rose was great in the first half. Awesome in the first half. Second half, he had 1 point in the second half, right? Quickly did not have a good game. So now you're relying on Elfrid Payton. Is he the guy? He's the one that's going to organize your offense?
No, they're lost. I mean, when you get to crunch time fourth quarter, you see their offense has no chance. They really don't.
But this is why I was saying at the deadline that this team, we don't want to mess up the team chemistry. Well, you know what's good for team chemistry? Winning games like this.
Yep.
They needed that piece to put in that starting rotation to make it easier on Julius Randle. To have, there were so many possessions in the third quarter that were just awful, awful, forcing shots, turnovers. RJ Barrett's trying to do too much. He's turning the ball over. Julius Randle's trying to do too much. He's turning the ball over. They have no one that takes charge of the offense. Like, Alfred Payton is not that guy. On a playoff team, Alfred Payton is not in your starting five. He's not.
No. He's 12 minutes a night on a good team in the postseason.
And unfortunately, I mean, early on when Derrick Rose was first traded over here, right, it turned into, Derrick Rose and IQ would be the one that would finish in games. Now, I mean, that wasn't the – you couldn't do it last night because Derrick Rose did not play well in the second half. So you went back to Alfred Payton. They needed somebody to organize the offense. There's way too many. When you have a lead, you can't just go down all of a sudden just have empty possession after empty possession because you allow teams, especially a good team like Brooklyn, to get back in these games. And you saw that in the third quarter.
Yeah, stinks. Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the Knicks. Is it tough to lose when the Nets are so shorthanded?
Well, it's more than just Irving. Irving's a great talent. We know that. And, obviously James and when they have Kevin, there's three all NBA players. But you look at a guy like Aldridge, who's a terrific talent. And I thought Harris, hurt us with his all around play. Claxton gave him good minutes, particularly with offensive rebounding. The kid Johnson hurt us on the boards as well. So that second shot was costly for us.
Yeah, but you can say, because they're a super team and they got James Harden and Kevin Durant and they got, Blake Griffin and everyone else. Even the shorthanded team that you saw last night, like even when James Harden only plays 4 minutes, that team without James Harden is still better than the Knicks.
Yeah, probably so. Well, they have a closer.
Well, not probably.
They have a finisher.
Yeah, they have a finisher. I mean, Jeff Green had another good game against the Knicks.
He's a good player.
I mean, Joey Buckets, you got no one like, I mean, yeah, Bullock was good in the first half. I'll give him credit. He was good in the first half. But that's still a better team. But this is where the Knicks are at, man. This is where the Knicks are at. But unfortunately, you get in situations like this going into the game, knowing that Harden and Kyrie were going to play. We're like, and I said this yesterday. I thought because you can clearly see this starting to, even Julius Randle last night with TLC getting a little physical.
Yep.
Like, there's something brewing here, which I like. So, I mean, I've been in those games where my team, the Islanders, were horrendous, and we're playing the Rangers. But because it's Islanders-Rangers, your game naturally, ratchets up a level. And they're usually close games. So this was a close game, but I mean, when you have a 14-point lead, this would be, and James Harden only played 4 minutes. It's a game that you, as a Knicks fan, you're like, okay, we got to take advantage of this opportunity. And at the end of it, we didn't.
Yeah,
just get the rebound. Give me the freaking rebound, would you please?
They can't do it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a data guy or a data guy, Rick?
I'm a data.
You have weird pronunciation to begin with, so
yeah, data.
Data.
Yeah, I don't say data. Data.
Chris.
Data, Dave.
Data.
Yeah. I feel like data is too fancy for me.
Data does feel a little bit fancy.
Take that for data.
Very well done. Nice.
Well said by him. But I think Canty's right. A little bougie when you say data.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, a little bougie.
It's one of those words that every time I see it, I pronounce it differently.
I don't understand why. I mean,
because
just
I can't remember how
it.
I said it last time, and I can't stay consistent with it.
Well, Rico, Dave likes to switch what he sleeps in every night, so we shouldn't be surprised about him switching the pronunciation of words.
I'm going to switch what I sleep in. I just don't sleep
try pajamas.
Like this animal.
No, I'm going to try full dress pajamas this weekend.
There is no way you would ever put in full dress pajamas.
I'm going to try.
And
I'm interested to see how it works out. I don't think I can sleep in pants. I'm going from one extreme to the other. I'm going from naked to full-on dress pajamas.
Will there be a collar on your shirt?
Yeah, I mean, that's prerequisite in the dress pajamas, isn't it?
And you'll have button down, right?
Yeah, you have to.
I
want to see you naked.
What is he going to wear? A onesie?
No, it's not a onesie. It's a shirt and then the pants.
No, I'm just asking Dave.
Oh,
yeah, what are you supposed to wear if it's not button down pajamas?
Giving me a hard time because that's what
he
got.
A t-shirt, like Dave. I would imagine Dave wears.
Oh, it's an SUV protected shirt.
Yeah, definitely a t-shirt. I can't tell. He feels like he could be a pants guy. Shorts and a t-shirt is what you wear.
Why do you care what I'm wearing?
No. I'm boxers and a t-shirt.
Oh, you go straight boxers. You just don't. Do you wear the same boxers all day and then sleep in them?
No.
So you wear fresh sleeping boxers?
Well, I shower before I go to bed, yes.
Why? I don't want to look good and I don't want to smell good. I'm fine looking miserable and smelling awful and putting on good radio.
Why don't you wear some comfy shorts? Why you go boxers?
Why do you care what I'm wearing when I sleep overnight? I've just told you that
I'm
clean.
Boxers just feels like, because it's got the big hole. Like, who wears boxers anyway still? That's another issue. But then all of a sudden we're talking about
boxers anymore? Is there anything that you won't judge me for? Really?
I don't know who still wears boxers. I didn't know that was a thing anymore.
You don't think anybody wears boxers?
I didn't think it was a thing.
I was going to let that slide, Rico.
So what do you wear? You wear like tighty whities?
No, I wear boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs.
Oh, come
and
on.
I do have some sexy underwear I told you about that when I'm wearing, you know, the tighter jeans, that I'll throw the sexy undies on.
Yeah, I got some sexy undies.
There's no way I'm the only person that wears boxers. Zero chance.
I don't know about that. I mean, there may be a couple people. Ira definitely. I mean, Ira's wearing banana hammocks. He ain't wearing boxer briefs. I mean, your junk doesn't fall out with the boxers while you're sleeping?
I don't know.
It's a huge gaping hole in those boxers.
I mean, if it falls out, it goes back in at some point. I don't know. I'm not paying attention. I'm sleeping.
We barely sleep now, so who cares? Especially last night.
And now I can't even sleep through the night. I'm up to go to the bathroom at least once a night.
That was the only benefit of only getting 3 hours of sleep last night, was that I didn't have to wake up to pee.
I did you a favor.
Oh, yeah, great favor you did.
You had to stay up. Were ever going to stay up one night, last night was, in fact, the night. All right, so Steve Cohen, I guess that we had good news yesterday. He and Francisco Lindor addressed the media. Steve Cohen, impact of Lindor's deal on the future of this organization?
Well, I said in the initial press conference that I wasn't going to, you know, run around and spend money like a drunken sailor, right? I mean, Francisco is a special guy and deserved a special contract. You know, each situation we're going to evaluate differently. You know, sometimes when you tie yourself up into long-term deals, it potentially could hurt your flexibility in other areas, and we have to weigh that. But, you know, we're going to be significant players for free agents down the road, and, you know, we're going to act like a major market club.
Yeah, well, they could treat the bullpen with a little bit better, bring in some guys there. And you know what? This is not Monday Morning Quarterback. We said all offseason, look at who's available. We talked about Liam Hendricks. We talked about Colome. We talked about all sorts of guys. And this is what they did.
Yeah, so but time out. But time out. No, don't start that, please. Because you were fully on board with the signing of Trevor May. I don't want to hear that.
I was fine with it. I wasn't excited by the signing. Everyone was fine with it.
Yeah, but he wasn't supposed to go out in game one and do what he did. You shouldn't have had to see him loop in that inning. Castro pitched well. Would you like to have seen DeGrom go at least one more inning? Yes, but I understand it's the first start of the season and the schedule's been thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
Being thrown in 10 days or whatever it is. But he's Jacob DeGrom. What pisses you off as a Mets fan is it seems like every time Jacob DeGrom is on the mound, he pitches like, watching him pitch is like, I don't know how you score on this guy. Like, I don't know how you get a hit against this guy. His stuff's that nasty. And he's just throwing straight fastballs that no one can touch.
102 miles an hour. How are you supposed to touch it?
But the location of it, it's like pinpoint accuracy, man. Like Jacob DeGrom, it just seems like he gets better every single year. I mean, you heard Bryce Harper after the game. He said, like, they didn't feel like they had a chance until they got Jacob DeGrom out of the game. And they were able to get into that bullpen. And guess what? Bryce Harper was right. Like, that's where they did their damage. So that bullpen has absolutely got to be better. Trevor May has got to be better. But you know what, guys? This is what Trevor May gets for blowing us off because he was supposed to come on our show and he didn't. It's what he deserves for his first outing.
I told RJ, you know, this is karma. We dialed back in, or we might have stayed late. We were waiting for him, and then there you go. This is what happens to him.
Yep.
First outing.
Yep.
Boom.
It's just amazing. I mean, it honestly is amazing that the Yankees lose the way that they lost in the first game of the season, and then the Mets lose the way they lost last night in the first game of the season. You feel like you're done watching the game. You're like, oh, same old, like all the enthusiasm you had. Like having Lindor, you saw a couple great defensive plays early in that game.
Even Alonso made a great play last night.
He had the relay throw from Pilar to McNeil. They get Hoskins out at third. Lindor to say effortless at shortstop is probably an understatement. Like he just glides up the middle, throws a double play.
He's so good.
He probably should have had three hits last night. I mean, he's a joy to watch. And then you left after the game going, oh, same old Mets. It pisses you off. Like you're supposed to.
Of course,
to
it does. And it's
you want to be
game.
Excited.
Well,
and then
Stroman
Jacob
goes out
pitches a gem.
Well,
and again, he's responsible. They get him one run. He drives in the second run.
I know. It really is unbelievable. It's the same script we've been reading for years. Earl in Brooklyn is next up on 98.7. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning, DCR. Hey, Dave, briefs, boxer briefs. Come on, you should
Thank
be better
you,
than that. All right. Boxer briefs. Listen, I am so ticked off with Rojas. This guy's pitching 101 miles an hour. He's only up seventh inning. He's only had a 73 pitches, 74 pitches. I'd rather my bullpen going for two innings than three. They cannot hold for three innings.
We well, spent all this money in the offseason.
We cannot hold
too.
More than three innings.
Here's the thing I'll say, and thanks for the call and the comment on the under, Earl. I greatly appreciate it. Is it's not like Castro went out and gave it up in the seventh. I mean, you got a scoreless seventh from him. So you probably would have gone DeGrom one more inning, and then you probably would have gone with May in the eighth inning anyway, right?
Yeah.
So May's just got to be better.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, I would expect May's going to be better. The other thing that frustrates you is again, it's another Jacob DeGrom start where you only score two runs.
And he produces one of them.
So now you're in a situation where, your bullpen has the ability to do what they did last night, which is blow it. Like, tack on some runs here. Let's get some run support.
I knew it, too. As they had guys on base all night long.
Oh, yeah.
Into double plays, and they Conforto makes out with bases low. And it's like, you know what? This is going to come back to haunt them. It wasn't a surprise. You had that feeling. Like, all game long, this would come back to haunt them because they didn't tack on the extra runs. They didn't, and it did. Guests on DCR Peer Review, the Goodyear Hotline, DCR 98.7 ESPN, is presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Andy in Manalapan. Andy, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to get back on that Jets trade. I think the Jets made a huge mistake. I think they could have traded with the 49ers to drop down one slot, got a second-round pick out of it, taken either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, whichever one was left, had a nice quarterback competition going.
Danny, you don't do that.
Why would you trade back for a second-round pick?
You're talking about the future of your franchise, and let's just take whoever's left there at three?
Well, you got two quarterbacks right there.
You obviously don't like them the same. If you said that they're the identical quarterback, you would have moved back to three. But you don't feel like that if you're Joe Douglas and the Jets.
No, I mean, look at how Mel Kiper even would have said. He said Sam Darnold would have went second if he was in the draft class today.
Mel Kiper will not get off his initial evaluation of Sam.
That's all it is.
I don't care if Mel Kiper says that Sam Darnold would go one good. Right now. If you're Joe Douglas, you have clearly identified Wilson as your quarterback at two. So now I'm going to move down to three and add more picks and take the guy that I don't like in this draft? Why would I ever do
you
that?
You would never do that. For a second-round pick? No, you can.
I don't understand.
That's what San Francisco was trying to do. San Francisco tried to. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. San Francisco would much rather be with the second pick than the third pick.
Yes, there's no question about it. And Kyle Shanahan has a love affair with Zach Wilson, but he's not going to be able to get him because the Jets are in position to be able to get him. But here's what I don't understand about Jets fans. Why the hell are you so hell-bent on trading back? You have enough draft picks. It's not like the team has a shortage of draft picks. You got 21 draft picks over the course of the next 2 years. How many more draft picks do you need? How many?
They want all of them.
Dave, you got seven draft picks in the first two rounds over the course of the next 2 years. How many draft picks do you need?
I don't know if it's about – listen, the draft picks – again, I mean, fans love draft picks. They're like lottery tickets, right? There's a level of excitement with draft picks. I think the other thing, too, is just the realization from Jets fans that maybe we're just not good at selecting and developing quarterbacks. I think that plays into their fear of staying here at two and drafting another quarterback. Like, how many?
You're just
going to
stay with Sam Darnold, not knowing or not believing whether or not he can do the job?
Well, yeah, because now all of a sudden we stay with Sam and we get more draft picks. And then if it doesn't work out, now we can readdress the problem in next year's draft when there's not as many quarterbacks.
It is the worst philosophy I've ever heard. You haven't had a quarterback in 50 years. It is hard to come by. You have a golden ticket right now. You don't trade back in stockpile. You don't push it to next year. You don't see what Sam Darnold has for another season. If you identify a guy as the guy, you go and you get it now. And that's what Joe Douglas and the Jets will do. So I commend them for that.
You have a quarterback in San Francisco who's making reasonable money. Compared to what starting quarterbacks make in the NFL, he's making reasonable money. He got you all the way to the Super Bowl. A Super Bowl that you probably should have won, right? You look at his record when he plays. He's 24-8 when he plays. Guy wins. He's a winner. And Kyle Shanahan gave up two extra first-round picks to move up and draft his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important the position is.
It is the most important position in sports.
So what are you doing?
It's not close.
So what are you doing, though? If Sam, all these people that wanted to keep Sam, what happens if he doesn't play well next season?
Well, then
now
you just
what?
Then you just deal with the next
year. Yeah, but
who?
Who are you getting?
Deshaun or
Russell? Who are you getting?
You have less.
From USC or Carolina or whoever it happens to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Judge with a home run. Stant with a home run. Montgomery was great. With the busy sports night, that must have been nice for you. Like, kind of move that to the back burner at some point.
Yeah, after the fifth inning, that game was over. I mean, Stanton almost drove me crazy because he let the oldest pitcher pump that first pitch strike in there. And I was just like, the guy has walked the bases loaded and walked a run in that inning. Like, you got to know that he's going to try to get ahead in the count and throw a strike. But he made up for it with the second one because he took that 471 feet straightaway center. So, I mean, the fact that it was a grand slam and that it was a nice, tidy 6-0 game at that point, felt good about it. I was able to switch off of that and lock in on Knicks and Nets and watch a little bit of the Mets until the national championship game came on. So, yeah, nice stress-free baseball night for me.
For you.
Yeah, biggest takeaway, though. I mean, Jordan Montgomery was lights out. He was great.
Yep.
And your bullpen again. I mean, Sessa gave you two scores, then Chapman came in. I mean, he's got his fancy new pitch he wanted to show off. I mean, this is, again, I mean, the Orioles, when the Yankees play the Orioles, it's like, it's stat night for the Yankees in their offense.
Yep.
They can't wait.
Or whoever it's going to be. All right, here is Stanton taking the high road on his grand slam, saying he can't worry about the boos of Yankee fans.
Yeah, it was good to get that, good to get us going and give us some insurance runs for sure. I try my best when I'm out there, so I can't worry about all of that. So
I actually feel badly for the guy.
Oh, stop.
I'm serious.
Stop yourself.
I'm serious.
Please. You don't feel bad.
Tell me why you feel bad for him, Dave.
Because I don't
Yankee,
think there's any
Chris,
reason
if he was a
every time. That,
Chris, if he was a Met.
Can I speak? Can I please?
No, because you're
can
so full of it.
No, I'm not full of it. I'm not full of it. Can I speak? Yes,
you feel bad for him?
Like
with the,
can I speak? Might I have a chance at this moment to
well, yeah, because this is going to be, yes,
asked.
Speak your lies. I want to hear him.
Because I think the guy's in a no-win situation. No matter what he does, he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. The Yankee fans will never look at him as their own, and at the drop of a hat, they will turn on him. And I think it's unfair.
Yeah, Dave, but if you know that, if that's his position, then why even address the boos in the post-game commentary? Like, why even talk about it? To me, if you know that that's going to be something that's ever present, you just ignore that. You go about your business. You try to do everything you can to help your team win. I mean, if you realize that the bar is unreasonably high, if you're never going to be able to live up to the expectations that the fan base has for
ever.
You, then why even worry about it?
I think it's human nature. When people boo you, that it has an impact on you.
You saw the way he reacted to after he hit that home run. Like how he threw the bat down, like how
yeah.
he hears it. Everyone hears it. You can't. I mean, you're right. Everyone's human. Like you hear that, and he's under a ton of pressure. And maybe he never listen. Maybe he never gets the Yankees fans on his side. I think that'll change if they win a championship and he has a great playoff run. I think that'll change a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a long time away.
Yeah, but talking about it in the post game is not going to make it go away. I guess what I'm saying is there was nothing to be gained by even addressing it. Why even talk about it?
Well, it shouldn't be here in the first place. In my estimation, there's no
well,
reason.
Fans are going to do what fans do, though, Dave. Like, there's no way you can expect fans not to boo a guy. It's going to happen.
Coming from the guy who can't stand Edwin Diaz and will boo him at the drop of a hat. Dave
True Robert. Story.
Edwin Diaz has been a disaster. Edwin Diaz had one of the worst seasons for a closer in the history of the game. They had to take him out of that. You're going to compare Stanton to Diaz and the success the Yankees have had with the success or lack thereof the Mets have had?
Edwin Diaz wasn't bad at all last year.
Last year he was fine. 2 years ago he was horrendous. Well,
okay.
Right? Horrendous.
But again, you're sitting here telling me
and
you feel
and
bad
I
for
traded,
Stanton.
I traded the prize chip of my farm system for him.
Ugh.
Yeah, let's avoid talking about that.
You brought it up
because you're a fraud.
You brought it up.
Well, because you back me into a corner where I'm going to allow you to just be a fraud on the radio. I can't.
I'm not
do that.
A fraud. I am not a fraud. You're a fraud.
You're a humongous fraud.
I'm not,
what are they
nowhere
doing?
Near
I don't need
a fraud.
To see Pillar leading off. It's game one. Relax.
Wait. Did I boo Pillar? No.
I don't want to see
him leading off. You know what? If you're a Yankees fan, you have the right to say, I don't like to see Hicks in the three hole. I don't want that. But to boo Stanton game one, you're a fraud. I'm done with all of you. I want to go to Victor in Brooklyn.
Hicks
Victor
had a big walk last night. Big walk.
I'm a great. Yeah, where he you're struck out, really. Victor, go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Victor.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm a diehard Mets fan, and like you guys say, same song, same dance. Unbelievable. DeGrom just can't get no one support if he puts his life on it. Forget it. I just wanted to make a comment on something Canty said a little while ago about Giancarlo Stanton. And him taking that first pitch for a strike right down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, when you're in baseball and you got a pitcher that's wild, throwing nothing but balls, that's exactly what you do, Kenny. You wait for a strike.
Mm-hmm.
This guy could walk every batter coming up. So, you know, I just wanted to correct you on that. You don't.
Well,
you don't
no, but time out. But time out. Listen, here's the one thing, though, Victor, and I understand why Canty said it. Giancarlo Stanton's not going up with the bases loaded to draw a walk. What Canty's talking about is that they're obviously, I mean, you're going to pitch. Even though Stanton is struggling, you saw what he's capable of doing. Like, how many strikes is Stanton going to get in that at bat? He's going to try to get ahead of him early and then, you know, pitch around the strike zone and make Stanton get himself out. So Canty's point was, the guy's going to have to throw a strike. He's going to want to get ahead, so you ambush him. The first pitch might be the best pitch because you're trying to do real damage there. You're not trying to draw a walk. That's not why Stanton is on the Yankees.
No, not at all.
They boo him if he walked. We know that.
No, and he did what he had to do. He got down to the count, and then he made him pay. The guy made a mistake right over the middle of the plate, and then it ended up 471 feet.
God have mercy. Tried to hit that one to the L train, didn't he?
He almost did.
Jesus.
The guy's got stupid power. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's a huge – what is he, 6'7", 270?
No, he's smaller. He's not
that big. He's like 250.
He's 6'6", probably. He's probably lighter than that now. He looks like he shedded some weight.
Yeah.
Still a big man. Eli in Washingtonville. He's a specimen. You're on 98.7, Eli.
Yeah,
have you
had to keep
a specimen, Dave?
Listen.
Eli, please go ahead. Go ahead.
Guys. I just want to say, listen. Yeah, guys, I don't deserve a guy like DeGrom, that pitcher. This guy, every time he goes out, he's a masterpiece. But that's not really why I'm calling. I'm calling because I was trying to get through the Michael K show yesterday because Don said something that was crazy.
Call the Michael K show.
No, stop it. Stop it. I want to hear this. Eli, I want to hear it. Finish your point.
Yeah. Listen, the guy said that if Eli Manning would have been in the same situation as Sam Darnold is now, he would have had the same result.
No way.
If Eli Manning had a bad coach and had the wide receivers and the personnel that Sam Darnold has, that he would have had the same result, that Eli Manning would have not been a Super Bowl-caliber quarterback.
No.
What do you think about that?
That's not true. Well, listen, I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with what the Jets had around him, but
no.
Eli Manning would have been a whole heck of a lot better than Sam Darnold was with the Jets.
And he would have played all 16 games.
We do know that.
Eli Manning doesn't miss games. But that, again, you can't overlook that, people. You cannot overlook the fact that the guy cannot stay healthy. That is a huge problem.
It's a huge piece. And it's
which makes it even more risky. But it makes it even more risky to all of a sudden now take the chance of trading back from two when you're in a prime spot to take whichever quarterback after Trevor Lawrence that you want to run it back with Sam for a year. He's got hurt every single year. Every single year. So what happens now?
And
so how are you
going to
judge? Well, he plays what? 12 games next year? What does he end up playing? Then you're going to be able to judge moving forward if this is your guy?
You know what? It's not your concern. So that's nice. Now, you listen to the entirety of the K-Show. Don said that Eli Manning wouldn't have been any better than Sam Darnold had he been on the same situation.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Don. Don is falling into the Mel Kiper trap where he will not get off his take. His take the entire time has been pro-Sam Darnold. They should keep Sam Darnold.
Right.
So now he's willing to... Now he's willing to
but
do whatever
it takes. But he's disparaging his guy for that?
Yeah, whatever it takes at this point. to make sure that he stays
strong. He really
strong.
Loves this point, huh?
No, but the other thing with Eli Manning is as bad as he looked in the first year, and he did not look great. Like, there were times like, this guy's going to get himself killed. He did not he won enough that the Giants were never in a position where they had to make this decision.
They went to the playoffs his second year.
Exactly right. But that's the point is now, I mean, and this isn't all Sam Darnold's fault, but after 3 years, you haven't been great. And on top of it, your team has been so bad that you have the second overall pick. That's why we're having this conversation. If the Jets had the 10th pick or the 12th pick, we're probably not having this conversation right now.
No, I think you're certainly not. And he would have been better than he's been. And he's been awful. Absolutely awful. Let's take one more, and then we got CMT coming. Mike in Hoboken. Mike, you're next up.
Just because you have the number two pick doesn't mean you have to reach for a quarterback. None of us heard about this guy last year,
Mike,
a year ago.
Mike, Kyle Shanahan.
You guys have shiny quarterback syndrome. You want the new shiny toy because that's what you want. And Chris, by the way, how much money do you need? When's enough money? Is there enough money? There's never enough draft picks because it's all odds. You're going to fail on a lot of these.
Yeah, you know who tried? You know who tried that once upon a time? The Cleveland Browns with Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta in 2017 and 2018. It didn't get turned around for Cleveland until they got a damn coach. So, I mean, the draft picks are great. Having draft picks are great, but you have to have a coach. You have to have the infrastructure in order to develop said talent. That was my only point. You got 21 draft picks over the course of the next 2 years. How many draft picks do you absolutely need? How many?
When did they make the Herschel Walker trade, Dave? You're the historian.
Oh, God, I don't know.
That was the early 90s? What was that, 90?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was in 1989, October 12, 1989.
Yeah.
The Herschel Walker.
Okay.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Otherwise, the Cowboys would win a Super Bowl forever. Not for that trade.
I just think, and people bring up, like, oh, yeah, do what Indy did. Indianapolis traded back.
They got a quarterback, though.
Exactly right. They had their quarterback. Joe Douglas obviously is not sold on Sam Darnold being his quarterback.
That's the whole point. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, you're talking about, well, we shouldn't reach for a quarterback at two. Well, if you don't have a quarterback that you think can do the job, what difference does it make? What difference does it make?
I think it's
Jacksonville
obvious.
Had a hell of a team. You know what? They had Blake Bortles as their quarterback. How did that work out for them?
You guys have shiny quarterback syndrome, and it's affecting your thinking, I think, is the problem here.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, when Dallas made that trade, they had selected Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman, yeah.
Hey, so you can make Walsh, I think, also.
Yeah, but you make that deal because you have your quarterbacks. You have that position solidified.
Yeah,
you got your guy.
Solidified the quarterback spot. I mean, we agree wholeheartedly. All right, let's go. I mean, we played incorrectly, but we still like to play, and that is CMT.
To cuddle.
I'll tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
And a fine Tuesday morning. It is the Tuesday.
It is the Tuesday.
Hello to all of you, and we start with some basketball. We're going to cover a lot here. Knicks lose to the Nets last night by 2. Brooklyn, though, they suffered, I think, what we would all agree is the biggest loss of the night. James Harden left 4 minutes in. Steve Nash said after the game Harden's tests were normal. He removed to side with caution. But cut, marry, or trash the Nets, big picture here, still as the favorites to win an NBA title.
Ooh, to win the NBA title?
Lead us off.
I'm going to cuddle it.
Kevin Pillar of CMT.
I'm going to cuddle it. I cannot fully marry it yet because I would have a hard time because we're just assuming that they're going to be healthy. So if I'm going to assume their health, I'm going to assume that the Lakers are healthy as well with a fully rested LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yep.
I would have to lean more towards that so I can only cuddle it.
I will agree. I think you said favorites to go to the finals. I would marry that wholeheartedly. But they're the best team in the East, and it's not close. They're the best or second best team in the NBA. I can't fully marry it, but I confidently and comfortably cuddle that.
In your boxer shorts?
In my boxers, yes.
Which is an aggressive cuddle, if you think about it, with the size of the pee hole in the boxer short.
That's the beauty.
I guess.
Yeah, it's the beauty.
Yeah, I'm going to cuddle this one, but I don't think I'm going to stay tonight. We're assuming that they're going to be healthy, but I don't know that they're going to be healthy. Like, we haven't seen the big three play that many games together. What is it, 7 games together? I don't know, man. There's something about that worries me with this team. And then James Harden having to go back out of the game last night with the hamstring. I worry about it. But still, they're the best team in the East, and they're going to be there in the end. So that's why it's a cuddle.
I don't think Dave meant that with with any kind of sincerity in terms of niceness, calling Rick the Kevin Pillar of lead-off.
It wasn't meant to be nice.
Yeah. Well, but listen, I mean, he hasn't seen me play, but I'm defensively platinum glove.
Well, so is Pillar.
That's what I mean. I mean, yeah. I'm there. They call me the bus boy because I do lead off. I set the table for the team.
I'm sure you're better than Pillar in the leadoff spot.
All right. You guys touched on some Mets earlier. Let's go back to it. The Mets lost yesterday, obviously, but that's not what I want to talk about here. The topic here is Steve Cohen said before the game his expectations for this season are that he expects the Mets to be a playoff team right here and now in 2021. So I think that's fair, but Cuddle, marry, or trash Cohen coming out and saying that before game one.
I'll go first. I'll marry it. I love it. You know what? He spent a lot of money. They have a talented team. They massively underperformed last year. The expectation is that the Mets will be a playoff team. So I have no issue with that. I like it. I love it. I'll marry it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm going to marry that too. I make a huge trade for one of the best players in all of baseball and sign him to a $300-plus million contract on the eve of the regular season kicking off. Oh, you're damn right. That's got to be the standard that we're going to be in the playoffs this year. So I'll marry that. I love Steve Cohen coming out and saying it.
Yeah, I'm going to marry it. I'm going to get it pregnant. Not even a question. Love it.
Are you going to get it pregnant before you marry it?
No. We'll go through.
Okay. All right, good.
You know, the best part is I will marry us because I'm capable of doing that. And then I won't make the same mistake
Can
I made on my wedding night.
Can you marry yourself, though?
I don't know. I don't see why I can't.
By the powers vested in him.
Yeah, it's like representing yourself in court. Why not?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, then you have a fool for a client. Isn't that the old adage? I don't think you can marry yourself.
Why couldn't I marry myself? I absolutely could.
I don't know.
I do the ceremony, and then when I have to do the vows, I just...
So what, are you going to run back and forth?
Would you have to do a
run? Where are we doing the ceremony? Where am I doing the ceremony? And I can step over.
You're going to go next to the woman, and then you're going to go in the other spot? I mean, you're going to go, do you take her... And then you're going to run over to that spot? Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Like, it would be like a Jerry Lewis movie.
Well, I could have a Rick puppet, maybe. I have a Rick puppet.
You might need a wardrobe change also.
Stand in.
All right, Giancarlo Stanton. Well, yesterday he did this.
Driven deep to left center field. There it goes. See ya. A monster grand slam for Stanton. And the Yankees lead 6-0.
Cuddle, marry, or trash Stanton's grand slam coming as a result of all the motivation he got from the booing.
Oh, I'll trash that. I'll trash that. I'm not going to give too much credit to the fan base, whether he performs well or whether he sucks. But, I mean, Stanton is supposed to hit home runs. That's what he does. And I guess the day off from Aaron Boone meant a lot more than we all gave it credit for. So Stanton took advantage of the situation. Good on him, but I don't think it's because of the fans. I'll trash it.
Yeah, I'll trash that as well. You're going to mercilessly abuse the guy, and now we're going to give you credit for getting him to hit a massive home run? No. Trash it with a capital T.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it. I'm going to give credit to the 92-mile-an-hour fastball right over the heart of the plate.
Love it.
All right. Baylor, national champs. They beat Gonzaga. But the question is, cuddle, marry, or trash Gonzaga's win on Saturday, the UCLA game, now taking a hit in terms of the greatest games ever because now we know they didn't finish the deal.
I'll cuddle that. I think that it diminishes it. It has to. I mean, if they would have won the title, you'd say undefeated, first team since 76 in Indiana, and they had an epic win. But I think a lot of the, not all of it, but a lot of the epic win is taken away, so I will cuddle that statement, yeah.
Wow, it's a tough one. I want to trash it. I do. Because it was such a great game.
Trash the win?
No, I want to trash this taken away from that loss, taken away from that game, because it was such a special game.
You do what you need to do. Go
ahead. I don't want to be just in the middle like Dave. That's such a weak take.
Wow.
I'll trash it. It's a great game, great shot, well-played game. I'm going to trash Dave's awful take.
I'm going to cuddle up to that take. I do think it does take it down a peg because the Zags weren't able to finish the drill and win the national championship. But when we think of March Madness, that will absolutely be one of the moments that people remember for all time.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't even have a take now. I can't have a take without
you
going
really
after.
A take.
That's why you have your take. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. That's the way the world works.
Well, it's not even really an opinion. It's kind of just like you in the middle.
That's how I feel. I don't think it ruins it, and I don't think it's great anymore. I think it's still a very good moment.
And with box, I would actually call it like an inappropriate cuddle is what it would be.
It's fine.
It's almost too aggressive.
Comfortable with that.
All right, and last, Aaron Rodgers made his Jeopardy debut last night.
Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this this game today, that's incorrect.
Now, he did not, in Final Jeopardy, attempt to answer the question, just literally wrote who would kick that field goal. And Jeopardy on Twitter actually released some of the uncut footage of afterwards, which I can only assume is when the music is playing out and they're talking, but you can't hear them. I think this is how the conversation actually went.
I can see on the podium. And I was like, please put something about the field goal on here. You will always be all time in my book, my friend. My first show, and that's what you said at the end. Thank you for that.
I wonder if Rogers actually went to them and said, I know you don't normally air that. Can you actually go and release that just to get the message out there? I still hate the field goal thought. But Cuddle, Marry, or Trash Rogers as the best Jeopardy guest host so far.
Ooh. Oh, that's easy for me. I'm trashing that.
Oh.
No shot. I thought Ken Jennings was outstanding. Katie Couric did a great job. I was underwhelmed by Aaron Rodgers' performance as host of Jeopardy last night. Now, it's his first show. We'll see if he gets better, but I'm definitely trashing that.
Underwhelmed? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Rick, I'll answer just because you'll, I guess, get angry, and you can, and that's fine, but I don't think it's founded. I didn't watch it yet. I've told you, I tape it and I watch it the next day. So all this conversation about Jeopardy, now I know who won. Now I know everything about last night's episode. So this is really putting a crimp in my style. I can't answer the question. I'm sorry. I haven't seen him yet. I agree. I thought Mike Richards was excellent. I thought that Katie Couric was good. I thought Ken Jennings was sensational. But I can't make a decision on this. You can ask me this question next week and I can. This week I can't. And I won't.
All right. In order to try to save, you know, Aaron Rodgers ever coming on the show after what Canty just did, I'm gonna have to marry it. I have to. I have no other choice. Otherwise, there's no chance we're getting Aaron on the show.
Maybe Chris is out of the interview now also. Maybe it's just
I just do it by myself.
101.
We'll just record a phone
mono mono with you and Aaron Rodgers. All right, there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.